especially youth and children and Korean ministry. I didn't have a breakfast, so I don't have any energy. Just so please understand me. I'd like to invite Calvin before we go into it, because Calvin will read a text, and then I want to pray before we read the text. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us here today to listen to your holy word as we are listening to your teachings from the Bible. Would you please be with us and help us to understand? Not just only understanding, but bring your word to the world and changing and impacting and then sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And help us to do that. We pray your son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Calvin, would you please come? Our text is of Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 to 11, and he's going to read those verses for us. I thought you memorized them.
I thank my God in my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus, and it is my prayer that your love may abound you more and more with knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve with what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness, and that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
Thank you. Amen. Screen's on. We all know that life is a matter of building something, and each of us has the opportunity to build something that we like a family, a secure family, a good reputation among your friends or your job situation or a career or other things we love to build up. But we also know that some of those things can disappear almost overnight and snap due to financial issues or natural disasters happen to us, or other unforeseen difficulties in our lives. It always happens. Then question is, when that happens, there was nothing we could do. We feel everything, what we have tried to build up something, just disappeared and collapsed. Nothing remains. Nothing is forever. We feel vulnerable, abandoned, and hopeless, sometimes empty. But I want to guarantee, I want to say that there is something that we have to remember. There is something that will last forever. That is the relationship. The relationship that we built with God will be forever. The relationship that we built with one another here at this church in Christ will be forever. We know that Paul, in our text, and the Philippian Christians also had a very special relationship with each other in Christ. That is all about our text, relationship, and then God's work in his people, in our lives. But by reading the book of Philippians, and we see that today, that both Paul and the Philippians, or the Christians, were spiritually kind of tied together. That's why Paul says in verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now I want to dig into the first day first. What does it mean by the first day? Now, let's do a little bit of history study. According to Acts, one of the Bibles, books from the Bible, and according to the book of Acts, chapter 16, when Paul, he wanted to go to Asia, the Holy Spirit led him to go to Philippi to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the Paul was the one, he went there, Paul was the one who shared the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Philippians. That's the story in Acts chapter 16. So the Philippian church, which is the first church in Europe, was established by Paul and his ministry. That means a lot to him, a lot to them. Therefore, now we can imagine that Paul and the Philippian Christians, their relationship each other in Christ was not like a superficial, but very strong and firm. Whenever Paul traveled somewhere, that's why the Philippian Christians always wanted to know what happened to him about his ministry and his life. Then if they found out that Paul was in need, they wholeheartedly sent their hearts some generous gifts to Paul to support his ministry. Very special relationship. But the interesting thing is, the Philippian Christians were not rich people generally. They have some rich people there. And this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2 about the Philippian Christians. Out of the most severe trial. Now, what happened in the Philippians? We know that. Their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Although they were poor people struggling something, they happily supported Paul. That's something to us. Although they were in the most severe trial, maybe trials, they never stopped showing their love and care and generosity to Paul and his ministry. Therefore, if you are Paul, you cannot forget them. Paul could not forget them. Rather, he gave thanks to the Lord all the time and prayed for them. This is what our text says, verse 3, I thank my God. I'm thinking about you. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. We see that they are a very special relationship. That is true. And somehow we see that our relationship should be like Paul and the Philippian Christians. Not superficial, but something like a deep and powerful and meaningful every day. Then we see that the Philippians' love and care for Paul and his ministry wasn't like that. You know, their love and care for Paul was not based on their power and wealth and money, but from their hearts. We have to see those things. We see Paul's relationship with the Philippians was not temporal, but always relationship. In verse 3 and 4, Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. Here in the verse 3 and 4, we see that Paul used the same word and over three times to emphasize one thing, that is, his relationship to the Philippian Christians are now temporal. It's not just temporal, but always. Remember, I remember you, always remember you. He says, all my remembrance of you, in every prayer, in all making my prayer. We all understand the meaning, all. All means in English, not just part of it, not just something out of it, but everything. The Greek word means same meaning. It means a full, an absolute, entire, whole, and every kind of. Now, Paul is saying that feeling, everything. Therefore, we see that Paul wants to say to Philippian Christians in verse 3 and 4, saying, yes, I'm giving you everything. My relationship to you is very special. It is not just one time relationship or a temporal relationship that I will forget later. But it's every time, whenever I go some places, whenever I meet somebody, I remember you. Everlasting relationship in the Lord. Sure, we have to learn that. Somehow we have to remember their relationships through Paul's letter to the Philippians. Now here we are. We are called to be God's people. We say that. not by chance, but by God's call, His divine call and plan and purpose. We're not just here, just, okay, I want to go by chance. No, that's not how the Bible says. We are here today at New Hope Church to worship God by God's call and His will. Therefore, your relationship to one another, our relationship to one another, it must be and it should be different than any other relationships that we may find in this world. As Paul and the Philippians were spiritually tied together in Christ, we as God's people must be connected and tied together, related together in Christ. Not temporarily, but every moment, every time, always. That's Paul's point. But here are things. Paul gives us some practical tips. He teaches us more practical ways to be always connected together. That's in the verse. And Paul opens his letter by saying, always in every prayer, and all making my prayer. We see that prayer is one of Paul's strategies to keep his relationship with his people, even the Philippian Christians, making really strong every time. Now, don't get me wrong. Paul did not say that he will pray 24/7 all the time. It's not that mean. Always prayer means whenever he prayed, he remembered, he prayed for the Philippian Christians. That is always in his prayer. In his prayer, Paul must have remembered all the names of people that he had met in Philippi. I'm sure that he must have prayed for a business name, a woman named Lydia. It's in the book of Acts. He must have prayed for the jailer. I hope you know that story, what happened. He was in jail, and jailer became a Christian, who eventually became a Christian with his whole family through Paul's gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, prayer, for Paul, prayer made him and his relationship to the Philippians very strong and special. The Apostle Paul is showing to you and me today a great example to build up our relationship, our strong relationship with one another. The foundation of our relationship is not only, maybe something, but not only based on fellowship or other church activities. We could do that, but not only that, but it should be based on our prayer. When we pray for someone else, like you pray for me, I pray for you, we lift up their names to the Lord. By doing that, it's just simple. We remember them, remember their situations, and we share things and their burdens and sufferings. We rejoice with their success and blessings. That's prayer. Joining into someone else's life. Bring their lives to the Lord together. Then we ask God's mercy and grace upon their lives. Wonderful. We seek the love of Jesus Christ through our prayer. That's what Paul is trying to say. What a powerful tool and an exercise to build up in our relationship with one another. I'm sure that it is better for us to have somebody who is actually praying for me than someone just having fun with me all the time around me. I don't think so. I'd rather have someone who is actually praying for me. Prayer makes our relationship strong and special, deep and meaningful. Somehow, maybe we are not able to build up a strong relationship if we don't pray. We don't bring our brothers and sisters' names and their situations to the Lord. One of the things that I like Pastor Perry's prayer is he brings everything. That is, first time when I came to New Hope, oh, okay, wow, it's long. Oh, long, okay, still going. But I just get used to it. You know, what I felt is, yes, that is right. By bringing everybody's situation to the Lord, we feel we are one. We are related. That is what Paul is trying to say. Now, Paul, he has a special heart. He's saying about his special heart for the Philippians in verse 8, why he's praying. He said, for God is my witness. And I yearn, that means the NIV, long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. In this verse, we see his conviction, his heart. He himself says that. You know, God knows me. God knows how much I prayed for you. God knows how much I loved the Philippian Christians. Paul strongly here declares that the love of Jesus Christ is the reason, my reason, only reason to pray for you. And I thought about this, then here is a challenge for all of us. Are we building our relationship with one another like Paul? Building our relationship through our prayer, through our affection of Jesus Christ. Not just one time or temporal relationship or temporal prayer, but continually praying and related together. Continually bringing somebody's problems and brother, sister's names and situations to the Lord. Maybe there are people that we will not understand. There are people that we will not understand. Now, we can find them not far away outside of a church. Sometimes here we see in this place, among ourselves, we not understand what's happening. People think differently. People act differently. People live differently. We're not the same. So sometimes we feel we can't just get along with them. Then what shall we do? Just ignore them? I don't care. Don't bother me. Or just forget them? My answer to that question is no, we can't do that. We can't just forget them, ignore them. From Paul's teaching, what we can do is actually we kneel down and pray for them. And say, God, I really don't understand their situations. I really don't understand. But I'm going to bring their names to you. That is a way that, like Paul said, God should be our witness. God will say that. Oh, yeah, I know. You prayed for him and them. The affection of Jesus Christ must be our attitude. Therefore, we must pray for one another. I think we should pray for one another, not just temporal, not just one day, but all the time. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we can be strongly bonded together, really tied together in Christ through prayer. Do you have any problems? I think that is time to spend more time to pray. Now, Paul's teaching goes deeper because he says in verse 4, all making my prayer with joy. He says joy. Now, we have to see that what Paul is trying to say here, joy. Paul is describing the condition of his heart when he prays for the Philippian Christians. Now, whenever he prays, whenever he lifts up the names of the Philippians, he does it with joy in his heart, joyfully. Now, I can imagine that. Paul's heart must have beaten hard. You can literally hear his heart beating with joy when he prayed for them. But however, we should not underestimate the meaning of joy here at Paul's mind. His joy is not based on something that he has, but based on Jesus Christ. Now that means a lot. That's why Paul says many times in his letter to the Philippians, in this old chapter, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Paul, definitely, he knew something about the Philippian Christians. They were struggling with many things. Different theology, different teachings, and a little bit about troubling in the church. sometimes not completely united. In chapter 4, a little bit about talking about differences to ladies. So Paul remembered all these things happening in the church. So whenever he prayed for them, he must have cried, Lord, I brought them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now they are a little bit struggling. I'm sure he cried. The cry was not just crying because he was really sad or depressed, but it was a cry with joy, which comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus was the reason for him to rejoice. Jesus was the reason for him to joyfully pray for them. He always prayed for the Philippian Christians with joy in his heart because Jesus Christ gives him the power of joy. Therefore, now we can say that Paul's relationship with the Philippians was a Christ-centered relationship. In verse 5, he says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now here Paul clearly expresses that his relationship with the Philippian Christians was not based on something else, but exclusively based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think we should build up that relationship. Think about it. Paul was a Jew. The Philippians were Gentiles. I'm Korean. You are not. You know, there was nothing between them from South Korea here. Nothing. Just sea. And there was no reason for Paul to be personally related to the Gentiles. They thought, oh, this is not a good thing. Paul had grown up in a culture and hating the Gentiles. So basically, he had no business with them. But interestingly, surprisingly, he gave his life for them. His life had been completely changed. Why? Because he met the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the moment. For Paul, nothing else. But Jesus Christ was the reason for him to build up his relationship with the Gentiles. Paul knew something in his heart. As the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ have changed his life, he knows that the power of gospel of Jesus Christ will surely and definitely change the Gentiles. So Paul, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most important, powerful reason to build up his relationship with these Gentiles. That is something that you and I have to remember. Nothing else. Nothing between you and me, but only Jesus Christ. Christ-centered relationship. Because of your partnership in the gospel, because of Jesus Christ, we are family. We are one. We are related. Somehow Paul praised the Philippian Christians, their love and their care, their support for them in his chapter. But Paul surely explains that his relationship with them was not something else but Jesus Christ. Christ-centered relationship. We must be strongly glued together in Christ. Are we? Christ is the reason for you and me to call one another next to you and behind you, in front of you, brothers and sisters. Christ is the reason we work together. Christ is the reason we serve together. Here at the church, we have GEMS and Cadet and Sunday School, Vacation Bible School and Coffee Break, and Missions and Bible Club, all these things, everything. Christ is the reason to do that. Even more, we gathered here, sitting here and worshiping God. Why? Only Christ. As Peter says in 1 Peter in chapter 2 and 6, he says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our life and faith. We have to realize that. Jesus is the foundation of our life and our relationship. But somehow we know that people in the world reject Jesus Christ. Sometimes we see, actually we see that Jesus Christ is rejected here at the church by many Christians, many churches. Something is just getting to between us and Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, is missing in our modern day lives. This is what the Bible says, Psalm 37 and 2. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like a green herb. This is what Jesus says. A foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and it beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. We must build our houses on the cornerstone. We must build our relationships on the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. However, that's not the end of it. People in the world, non-Christians, they must see something through you. They must see and realize and detect something different in you and about you. Our lives must be a channel of God's blessing to the world. And somehow we should feel desperate about that, to share the gospel. They don't know about Jesus Christ. They don't know where to build their houses. We have to let them know that. We have to let them know that. Feel desperate to share the gospel of Jesus. And we must be different. But now we know that that's not easy. That's really not easy. Then here comes what Paul says. Philippians chapter 1 and 6. And I'm sure of this, that who began a good work in you will bring it to completion the day of Jesus Christ. When I read this text, I feel comfort. Here Paul is teaching you and me. Truly, Paul is trying to say, you know, comforting you. We know we have to build our faith on Jesus Christ. We have to succeed. We have to build our houses and relationship on the cornerstone, on the faith in Jesus Christ. But sometimes we fail. It's not easy. We just sometimes feel too much. You know what? From Paul's teaching in verse 6, there's nothing that you and I could worry about. Why? Because God is in control. Not you and me. God is in control. It's not you and me who started our relationship in Christ. No. It's not you and me who started our relationship one another. No. God started. He started. In Paul's logic, it's very simple. Since God has started everything in your life, don't you see it? He will finish it. Do not worry about it. He will finish it. He will surely finish it. We are sinners before God. We are weak. Sometimes we feel helpless. Sometimes we don't know what to do with our relationship to one another. Sometimes maybe we don't know how to pray for our enemies. Sometimes we don't know how to grow in faith. From Paul's teaching, even though you don't know it, God knows you and me, and He will complete everything. What He has started with His love and grace at the day of Jesus Christ, He will complete that. God is the one who gives you. God is the one who gives you the cornerstone so that we could build a building here. God is the one who completes the building so that we could continue to live in His grace. I look at the one research, and a professor of transmitted disease and study at the University of California. And his name is Dr. Sim, S-Y-M-E, may Sim or Sim. He indicates the importance of social ties and a social support system in relationship. And it brings down disease and everything. So he points to Japan, not South Korea. I don't know why. I mean, he should go to South Korea. He points to Japan as being number one in the world with respect to health, and then discusses the very close social and cultural and traditional ties in that country as the reason. That was really shocking for me. Now, he believes that the more social ties happening in our lives, the better the health and the lower the death rate. Conversely, he indicates that the more isolated the person, separated, the poorer the health and the higher the death rate. Wow, it was really shocking. And he finds out that the social ties are good preventative medicine for people and physical problems and non-mental emotional behavior problems. I thought about reading this one. I thought about if social ties are good enough for preventative medicine for physical problems, what about our relationship, our spiritual ties with our Lord Jesus Christ? Spiritually tied together here with Christ. Today is Cadet Sunday. And many of you are here to support your son or your grandson. Now, you know, we may teach them all the things about the Bible. We may teach them how to survive in this world as Christians. But I believe that the most important thing that we could teach parents and friends and church members, we could teach our boys is to build their strong relationship with Christ. Simply Christ-centered lifestyle. Christ-centered relationship. Thinking every moment, bringing Jesus Christ in their lives. Today is also the last day of Sunday school. Thanks to you, all the teachers, for faithfully teaching our children. Thank you so much, continually building up your good relationship with our children. Parents, families of New Hope, and visitors, nothing will remain but Christ alone. Today is time for you and me to find out that. Nothing will remain in your life, but only Christ, your relationship to Christ. Therefore, this is time to bring your heart to the Lord again and again. Why? God will complete. God will help you. God will finish His good work in you. Do not wait. Boys, remember our motto. You always, Wednesday night, we always say, what is it? Usually I bring my candy and what is it? They say loud. And, what is it?
Living for Jesus.
Same thing. We are here because we want to listen how we will live in this earth. Yes, we are living for Christ. We are living for Jesus. Paul ends up his letter by saying, this is what Paul says, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I wish this is your confession because you have a strong, very strong relationship in Christ and with one another. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us about relationship through Jesus Christ. through your church from the Bible. Heavenly Father, would you please help us to grab this teaching from Paul and apply into our lives, our relationship one another in this church or outside of church must be rooted in our faith in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, and bless us. Also, bless all the boys who are sitting here today. Help them to live their lives living for Jesus. We pray, your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.